Blog Talk Radio.
Our community have become toxic waste, and those in high places are planning to remove the toxic waste. And while we flitter and live this frivolous, foolish life, seeking pleasure from our bodies and pleasure from the bodies of others, and seeking to be famous and wealthy in this world, to be used by the power to make our people think that if you go to school and work hard, you too can be successful. That's a lie. I don't give a damn how many of you go to school and work hard. They select a few out of the mass to deceive the rest that this house is not your house. And you are going to have to think about a house of your own, because white America, listen to me good, man, cannot support you any longer. White America cannot give jobs to her millions of unemployed, much less ours. Did you hear me? Elijah Muhammad told us in the 60s we should pool our resources and get farmland, because there is no freedom without land. You remember those teachings? He said that the time of separation had come, and that we are going to have to think about building a nation of our own. You, in the 60s, you were ready to say it's nation time. You don't say that no more, because you have been deceived into thinking that inclusion into this is your salvation. This that you want to be included in has no future. None.
Greetings and assalamu alaikum. Welcome to another edition of the Time to Leave Blog Talk Radio Show, where we discuss the concept, history, and application of black people leaving the slavery, suffering, and death of our former slave masters to create our own societies based on freedom, justice, and equality. Our mission, and your mission as well, if you accept it, is to seriously discuss, debate, and vet the concept of separation and its various implications as a viable solution for black people in America, and to analyze historical and current separate societies and consider their models for implementation of our own. This week's show is Skilled Trades and Apprenticeships. How can we unite to physically build our world? Our host for tonight's show is the Skilled Trades Task Force of the Time to Leave movement. And in particular, our host is Brother Tony Muhammad, who's the coordinator of the Skilled Trades Task Force. And so let me see if I can open up his mic. Brother Tony, did you press the one? And Brother Kelvin, did you press one? Brother Tony. Okay, so I see Brother. Okay, now I see them. They pressed the one. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Tony.
Wa alaikum salam, Ramadan Mubarak.
Ramadan Kareem, brother.
Yes, sir.
Yes, well, sir. Well, brother, Praise be to Allah, and I'm going to let you go ahead and introduce your guest for tonight.
Well, co-hosting with me tonight will be a brother who I think has a wealth of information that many of our brothers and sisters who have served in the military, they can partake of this information and perhaps make use of it so that they too can become builders of our own separate state or territory of our own. So, Brother Kelvin Muhammad, are you on the line now?
I'm on the line, yes, sir.
All praise is due to Allah. Are you ready for me to go ahead and get started, Brother Carlton?
Yes, sir, brother. Go ahead.
All praise is due to Allah. Before we get into that particular discussion, I would like to thank everybody for tuning in to the Time to Lead Blog Talk show tonight. We'll be discussing the skilled trades and apprenticeships, and we want to ponder by asking the question, how can we unite to build our own world? That's a tough one. Seems like to me that we've been listening to the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan for over 62 years, and prior to that, his teacher, and his teacher, Master Fahd Muhammad, and the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, they both served us well with enough information to where we should be able to unite, pool our resources to build our own world. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan made the first step, in fact, the first move on the chessboard as an act of actual sincerity and an act of war against Satan, because Satan has been feeding us the wrong foods, and Satan has been, in fact, indoctrinating us into a life of sin, filth, and indecency. So I'm not going to preach on that point too much, because we got to put the nuts and bolts together where it concerns the skilled tradesmen. We have so many different brothers and sisters in the Nation of Islam alone who have various different skills, to where I know for a fact we can absolutely separate and build and maintain whatever we, whichever area we decide that we're going to move to. By that, I'm saying that, look, we have engineers. We have some engineers that's in our group. Brother Horatio, who is a civil engineer, and he's also a general contractor, licensed. We have Brother Kevin Muhammad out of Atlanta, Georgia, who is also an engineer. He's an electrical engineer. So, you know, we have brothers who do site work or infrastructure, like Brother Louis Ali down in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. All over our nation, we have these various different skills. But there's a logistical issue that I think we need to start to deal with. And that means that we're spread out. Not that we're all going to be in the same area all the time, but we're so spread out that it seems like we need to start asking the question, how can we unite to build our own world? How? Here's another question added to that. How can we acquire the skills in order to be able to build and maintain our own separate state or territory of our own? I'll tell you this in short. I wouldn't be on this line discussing the skilled trades if it were not for, honestly, a leap of faith. You know, I was young coming to the Nation of Islam in Memphis, Tennessee, Mosque number 55. And coming after the Million Man March, I was literally so inspired that I was ready to give up everything. I dropped out of college. I stopped boxing. And, I mean, they asked the question, anybody interested in going to volunteer on the farm? I said, wow, we got a farm. You know, so, you know, I packed up. I gave the company, which was a chalkboard company in Mississippi, I would drive an hour and a half to go work there and then drive 2.5 hours to go to the mosque. I literally gave them one day notice. So I picked up, left, came to the farm, and, you know, the rest is history. No matter how you view the farm in terms of it's pretty rough. It's rough. But let me tell you this. I wouldn't be on this line now discussing this had it not been for me learning how to do things the hard way. Now, I remember this conversation I had with Dr. Ridgely. We were working with something, I think some piece of equipment. I remember him looking at it saying, everything's got to be done the hard way. I didn't understand what that actually meant until I actually got into the skilled trades as a mechanical tradesman. I served in an apprenticeship program. They served me very well. The information that they gave me and the skills, the tools that they gave me made me a master at what I do. I actually carry a master pipe fitter certification, which, you know, that's good for anywhere in the country and across seas. But I wouldn't understand mechanics the way I did when I came in to the union apprenticeship program. I wouldn't understand it had I not learned how to do things the hard way. I think there were a couple of people that were able to pick out the fact that I probably worked on the farm. I actually heard somebody say that. But to say, I'm bringing that up because, you know, the minister made the first move. We won't know what it's really like to even ask the question and ponder over the question. We won't get a real sense of what it means until we bring the first hammer and the first nail and drive in the first piece of wood to separate. And that's a fact. I think that will spark an atom amongst those of us who are in the steel trades. We say it on the conference calls. We need a prototype. I know I'm saying a lot right now. I can't cram everything, and I don't know all the answers to all of this. So that's why we're going to bring this up into the discussion. How can we unite with the skilled tradesmen to physically build our own world, and how are we going to acquire the skills to do so? But before we do that, I want to bring on my co-host for the night, because this information is very much needed. There are programs that are already out here. We don't have to reinvent the wheel. So I want Brother Kelvin to come on the line and explain to you what programs are already out there for veterans that are in our community and in our nation. Brother Kelvin?
Yes, sir. First of all, I'd like to say thank you for bringing me forward and taking this opportunity. I wish everyone well. I wish the families well as well. And the program that I'm interested in and always was interested in and I am a part of at this time is Helmets to Hard Hats. And that's a program that is geared for transitioning military personnel to enter into the construction industry. And you, when you talk about construction, many people start thinking like, okay, so, you know, is it a carpentry program? Is it a electrician program? It's all of those above. Mostly all the crafts are involved with the Helmets to Hard Hats program. I've seen some other companies as well as get involved. I am also an apprentice by trade with the elevation construction trade. And basically this program will actually allow you to come in, allow veterans to come in as an apprentice at a certain percentage of a journeyman scale. Sometimes it's half of that. So some trades like an iron worker or a rod buster may come in starting with about $20 an hour and more than likely can top out double that most of the time. So that program is, you know, will accept you into their program with your DD-214, which is your discharge papers, of course, for the veterans. And you come in and you start training. You start attending the classes in the school. Electricians have a class, two classes. Rod busters have a class, two classes a week. And some of the other trades will actually vary. But this is a good program that allow military personnel to make that transition into the civilian world having a trade. There are other programs as well. They call it a VIP program, which is the Veterans in Piping. And you can look this up. And I hope that you will look it up, because most of our military personnel are afraid to come into the civilian side. They're used to, you know, working 12 hours a day, but they're used to having a lot of things taken care for them, you know, the health care. Is one of the things that some of our friends was very nervous of coming into the civilian life. But when those programs such as Helmets and Hard Hats and Veterans in Piping came out, you know, it made an easy transition for those that was in the service to enter into the civilian world.
Thank you so much, Brother Kelvin. I'm very familiar with the VIP program. As a matter of fact, while we're at it, is there a website that we can direct the people to who may be interested in that program? Even if you have a relative, you don't necessarily have to be in the Nation of Islam. Our people are all over the planet. Our people are the Nation of Islam. Is there a website that the people can?
Yes, sir. For the VIP, the Veterans in Piping, is www.uavip.org. And I'll say that again, is www.uavip.org. And for the Helmets to Hard Hats program, is Helmets 2, that's in PO, hardhats.org. Helmets to Hard Hats.org.
Thank you so much, Brother Kelvin. Once again, that's an important part of what we're looking at in terms of separation. You know, we got to deal with every dynamic and serve every dynamic in the Black community. You know, our condition is such that it took a special teaching for us. And so the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan just this past Sunday explained that the rostrum is not used to condemn, will not be used to condemn our people, but to raise our people up out of this condition, you know. And so he said many things that I can, you know, kind of segue into. I'm not going to be able to get into everything because we only have an hour on the show, but I will explain something because I know that with the VIP program, they work with the local Union 72, which I'm a part of as well. That's the Pipefitters Union. They have a lot of young people that come into that program, and they're doing very well with that. So the one thing that I want to try to, you know, get us to wrap our minds around, some things the minister said concerning a statement that Martin Luther, the reformer, made concerning the Jews, which, by the way, family, I've been banned for 30 days or put in Facebook jail for 30 days because I echoed what the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said on his page, because oftentimes he will ask for feedback. What did you think about the lecture? So on and so forth. You all who have been on his Facebook page, you know that. So the only thing I echoed was, thank you, Brother Minister, for exposing these satanic Jews. Well, that was yesterday. When I woke up this morning, I went and checked my Facebook page, and I had to log in with my name. I said, uh-oh, there's a problem. And sure enough, they showed me the post. They deleted it, and they said it violated their Facebook community policy, and it's considered as hate speech. So I operate the Ma'at page, which is Mastery Apprenticeship of Agriculture and Technology. That's a very inspirational page to those who are interested in skilled trades. In fact, I got three people involved in the skilled trades right now in an apprenticeship program through that page. And so, you know, there are much worse things that have been said on Facebook. So it's just very interesting as to why they chose this particular time and such a long time, 30 days. It's usually like 24 hours or 48 hours or 72 hours, but they 30 days. But part of what I wanted to share was the what Martin Luther said, according to the minister, what he brought up, was that the Jews, you know, they had mean tricks, you know? And so what I wanted to share with you and the reason why we have to separate, and I know you, Brother Kelvin, have mentioned us forming our own union. Now,
yes, sir.
Whenever you start talking about forming your own union, be ready to go to war, because that within itself means that you are ready to challenge these union bosses, these union business managers, and they could be real nasty. Whenever you start making a move like that, you're taking a segment of their workforce who's paying into their retirement. That's the main thing that they will tell you when they allow young apprentices to come in. They say, well, we need more to come in to pay our retirement. They don't even, once they get at a certain age, they don't really care too much about what you do out in the field. They care that you're paying for their retirement. And so whenever we start making moves like that, that's very serious. But I transposed or at least related what the minister said to my level of peer group. Now, it's a fact that the unions have been treating the black union members as, you know, basically like little children. This is a fact. The Jews, Samuel Gompers, the Jews, when they allowed the blacks to come in, they set the blacks up to become strike breakers. Isn't that dirty? Which caused the white union members who were striking to become angrier at, they didn't want us in the first place. They became angrier at us, and they separated and formed their own unions. And so when they did, they allowed us the more menial tasks in the unions. And mm-hmm. so the Jews would come in and they would kind of become the peacemaker. So, oh, no, you can't treat them like that. So these are the dirty, mean tricks that we have been under, and we have to get away from this. We got to make a decision. You, skilled tradesmen out there, we're calling you front and center because it's our time now. We've done all the preaching in the world. We've done it. Listen, we got so many books out there right now. I mean, you know, we got to form our own library of so many believers who are writing books now. Well, nothing wrong with writing books, but here's the issue. We write books all day, but we don't have anything as a prototype that can show us, look, this is where our energy has met with actual facts. We believe in this. We trust in what we believe in, and this is what we have. The only thing that I can see, and I'm not going to say the only thing, but the one thing that I can see is actually a real foundation for us separating is our farm. So with that being said, I want you all who are skilled tradesmen, even if you don't know which direction you want to take, I want you to be a part of this conversation so that we can start making some moves. In fact, this coming up July the 4th, we're going to have a presence at Founders Day. We'll have a demonstration for brick masonry. One brother's going to be doing PLC. That'll be Brother Gerald. He's dealing with, like, electronics and things of that nature. Me, I'm a pipe fitter. I'm a mechanical tradesman. So I'm going to go into a few things that can kind of help bust up this concept that we can't read blueprint. We can read blueprint. We laid out Washington, D.C. We laid out many of the cities in America. We laid out ancient Egypt. So we can make the historical, visual, and applicable connection all over again. We have to get away from these people so that we can at least be at peace with each other long enough to where we can develop ourselves into the masters that we used to be. So I want to open up the line now for any questions or comments. We want you to be a part of this discussion.
Thank you, Brother Tony, for such a compelling and informative opening of the show. Any callers out there that have a question for Brother Tony or Brother Kelvin that's moved to a question or a comment on what you've heard, please press that 1 so that I can recognize you and open your line. Right now, Brother Tony, nobody has stepped up. Oh, somebody just stepped up. I think that's Dr. Ridgely. I'm going to open up Dr. Ridgely's line. Assalamu alaikum, sir. Dr. Ridgely? We cannot hear you, Dr. Ridgely. I see you pressed 1. Your line is open. Are you on mute?
Okay, can you hear me now?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Islam.
I was trying to wait until some other people called in, but I want to leave a vacuum in terms of time. You know, us being in the skilled trade, it's not. They brought us over here because we were the skilled tradesmen of the world. We not only did we build ancient Egypt, but we built civilizations in the Congo. Okay, mm-hmm. We were not swinging from trees with bones in our nose all over Africa. We had carved out civilization in the jungle. And they brought us over here for agriculture, for farming, to grow the cotton, the tobacco, to raise the food. They also brought us over here to operate the flour mills and to keep them going, the millwright. They brought us over here to build. They sold us on the slavery block as carpenters and millwrights and navigators and coopers who would build the storage containers for food and drinks to be shipped. We were the South's skilled people, and it was so bad that the South, before they separated from America, the North, from setting up schools to teach agriculture and engineering, because they had the agriculturalists and the engineers on the plantation as slaves. So they didn't want the North to get an advantage by training their people to do these things because they had captured us. And then after slavery, when they thought that we were going to die in the woods without them, we built 60, get the impression that those white philanthropists who set up our first schools, we set them up. And we were the skilled tradesmen all over America. Let me read you a few statistics from the Secret Relationship Between Blacks and Jews, Volume 2, which is a must-read according to the Most Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. This is a must-read book along with Message of Black Man. But this is talking about the how after slavery, like in Cleveland, fully 1/3 of black males were employed in the skilled trade in 1870. That number had dropped to 1 in 10 by 1910. The 3,460 black tradesmen in New Orleans in 1870 had been reduced to fewer than 350 by 1904. Even though the black population increased in that city by more than 50%. The same pattern of occupational eviction existed throughout the nation, its intensity mirroring the flow of European immigrants into the nation and into the workplace. And unions dominated by Jewish laborers were no different. The garment makers, the cigar rollers, and the waiters were largely made up of Jews, and just like their white ethnic colleagues, all excluded non-white. And you mentioned Samuel Gompers, who was the first, who set up and was the first head of the AFL, okay? That was in 1886, okay? Mm-hmm. Now, like you said, he set it up, but he set it up and to destroy other labor movements. They were already
right.
in operation, like the National Labor Union and the Knights of Labor, that were set up on an egalitarian basis between blacks and whites. Now, this is right
that's
after
right.
slavery now. So they were, in fact, working together. Blacks and whites were working together after slavery.
That's right.
Until the Jews came in and messed that up. Okay? So Sam said, you can't hear me? Okay. I'm sorry, y'all. My wife said I'm muffled. I'm sorry.
But you sound fine. We hear you, brother.
It's just her phone. Okay.
Yeah, we, you
right.
sound fine.
So, okay, good. Praise be to Allah. So they came in and going on between in the skilled trade, set up something, excluded us as union breakers against the other unions, put it into their union, and then put it in a media position. And then Samuel Gompers, his only education that he had was from the rabbinical Talmudic school, where he learned
wow.
Hebrew and the Talmud. This is
wow.
what Mr. Farrakhan introduced us to this past Sunday, and the hatred that these people who call themselves Jews, the so-called Jews, have for all Gentiles, black and white. The level of
wow.
technology that they
wow.
would go through to put you at a disadvantage. This is their training in the Talmud. I mean, this man says, he said, look, this is what Gompers said. I was in the school that he was taught in London, the Rothschild funded Talmudic school in London. I was taught Hebrew, not the mongrel language spoken and written by many Jews of the present age, a literature of wonderful beauty and wisdom. Now, y'all know the beauty and wisdom. You hear it Sunday, like having sex with a child under 9 years old was okay. Having sex with an animal was okay. That beautiful? Then it says the discipline gained. Can you hear me?
Okay. Yes, sir.
The discipline gained from studying the Talmud is essentially the same as resulting from any legal study. It develops
wow.
the more subtle qualities of the student learns to deal with abstract problems, to make careful discriminations, follow a line of reasoning from to conclusion. This legal training is this fundamental claim the intellectual quality of many of the Jewish people. Now, see, this is why they're all lawyers. Legal.
We having trouble hearing you, Dr. Vigil. We having trouble hearing you, Dr. Vigil.
Okay. All right, well, I'll let somebody else talk. That's Verizon don't like me very much.
We hear you now. You sound fine now.
Okay. You know, sometimes I have to go from the put it to my ear, and sometimes I have to go to speakerphone to continue conversations because they're playing games with me right now. Because I'm playing, you know, I'm not playing games with them. I'm after them, so they, you know, they're playing the games with their platform. But to say that these people use language and legalities to trick people, to put you in a situation that you sign on to something and find out later on that you're locked into a losing situation. They've done with almost all of our entertainers. And when they find out Michael Jackson and learn how to play the game, they kill him. With Prince, they kill him.
Wow.
The sister named Left Eye, they kill him. This is what they do. And they don't even think that it's illegal or it's immoral because they see us as animals that they have a right to use and abuse as they wish as a promise from God to them. They really believe that God allows them to treat non-Jews. And how can you be so wicked as a not to even allow the non-Jews to read the Holy Book? You're not supposed to read the Torah nor the Talmud according to the Talmudic rabbis. So how can you be from God and God taught you through prophets and yet you hide the truth while you know? And in the Holy Quran, he talks about how the Jews not only hide the truth while they know, but they write a book with their own hands and put it forward as this is coming. For you made your statement about the satanic Jews. Next time, say the so-called Jews, like Mr. Farrakhan said, and then they can't get you for hate speech because you said so-called. So what does that mean? All right? But you say satanic Jews, then they say, well, you're talking about all Jews. But Mr. Farrakhan made a distinction, very clear distinction between righteous Jews and the satanic Jews are the synagogue of faith. But
yes, he did.
These people historically have pulled us out of the skilled trade. Now, at one time, we predominated the skilled trade, but now they take us out. We predominated agriculture and farming, but they took us out. So now when black people, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, talks about separation, we are scared to death. Because we don't know how to do nothing. We don't know how to farm. We don't know how to fix our cars. We don't know how to fix our toilet. We don't know how to build our home. We don't know how to fix our air conditioning systems. We don't know how to fix our elevators. We don't know how to do concrete and bricklaying no more. They took us out of all the things that you would need to be independent. It's just like telling somebody to go play basketball that got LeBron James, and then they tie your feet together so you can't run. Now, what good would it do for you, for your feet to be tied, and they give you a basketball in your hand and say, now go play LeBron James? Okay? This is what they did to us. They crippled us so that when it's time for us to separate, we will be afraid because we are crippled. We don't have the knowledge of how to do things. So this skilled trade thing is extremely important to learn how to do the things necessary to have our own so that we can have the confidence that we can leave. Yes, it is time to leave, but we have to have the skills to be able to survive and to build. So thank y'all very much for what you all are doing. Sorry to take up the time, but you got to get the book, The Thick Relationship Between Blacks and Jews, Volume 2, to see the whole history of the game that these people who claim to be our friends, setting up the NAACP at the same time they were destroying the unions. All praise to Allah. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum salam. Wow.
Yes, sir.
You know, my mouth. I'm trying to pick my mouth up, man. But see, that's useful information. You know,
right?
We get a lot of look. It's like this. I came to the conclusion. That is powerful information, Dr. Ridgely. I came to the conclusion. This year, actually, late last year, that, you know, we don't have a balance when it comes to, you know, spirituality, our spiritual awareness, and what actually means spirit in the first place. The minister said it means energy. And so, you know, in our lessons, we're taught to work cheerfully. Fear not. Now, if somebody's working cheerfully, that means they got a good spirit while they're working. And so what I'm saying is this. I get just as much energy out of sitting down and trying to problem solve something that nobody else can figure out, or at least as a team, we're all trying to figure out together. I get as much energy from that as I would listening to Brother Nuri. And I'm just being honest with you. And so we're going to have to break up this idea or the culture of, you know, being afraid to actually make the first step in the direction where it concerns separation. We've got to break that up, man. Listen,
right, yes, sir.
The history is there. You know, when I look at how even Tulsa, Oklahoma was built, you know, it started with one man. He had money. But he put his money where his mouth is at. Then his friend came in, O.W. Gurley. Now, I didn't know anything about O.W. Gurley. They tried to wipe his name out of history. Some say, oh, he died in obscurity somewhere in California. You know, he was exiled, and he died a broken man, so on and so forth. But, you know, they tried to wipe his history completely out, as though Tulsa, Oklahoma was just some enigma, something that just happened. You know what I mean? And so we have to get away from these people who have been blood sucking the whole time. They create the problem with synthesis and antithesis. Mm-hmm. Of it all brings out what they would allow or at least bring a solution for. You know, we got to break. We got to get away from it.
Brother Kelvin.
Yeah, we do. Yes, sir.
I hear you trying to say something. And I'll have a question for you after you say it, but go ahead. I think you're trying to say something.
No, go ahead. Go ahead with your question.
Okay. You know, you're in the military, and you have a degree and something else, I believe, right?
That's correct.
So,
yes, sir.
So why – what made you go towards the skilled trades now?
Well, I was waiting – for that. I was actually thinking about it too. You know, and here's the thing about it. You know, when I was in the service, I've been in twice. The first time I went in and enlisted, just basically trying to get away from the home. And then I came out, and then eventually I went back in. But when I went back in, I was kind of older. And so what I did, I said, well, you know, let me go ahead and go to school. So I went to school, I went in. Got my commission. I came out the Army as a captain. Now, of course, I got my bachelor's because, all commissioned officers in the military, has a degree. And then I went into my master's because I used all my GI Bill. And I have a master's in business administration. The thing about it was that, all that money that I wasted, if I had a son, he wouldn't even go to the military for one. Two, he would never go into a college unless he was practicing medicine or something to that in that nature. But the skilled trades allow me to really do something really for self. You know, yes, I can write a plan, a business plan, a marketing plan. I can do that. I did very well with that. The Army used that. Of course, in the supply chain management. But when it came down to the civilian world, I had to do something else. So the skilled trades gave me the opportunity to really do something for myself, and not only just for myself, for my family. Something that I just wanted to just get away from, the other things. Now, I was given opportunities for supply chain management. They didn't pay well based on the things that I've done. But when it comes down to the skilled trades, you're not actually in debt. This is one of the things I was actually thinking about when Dr. Rizzi was talking about. They sold us, they took us out of the technical, right? And they gave us that platter of, get your degree, get your bachelor's. And at first it was the associates in the mid-80s, that's fine. Then get your bachelor's. Well, you can't stop right there. You got to get your master's. The only thing you did was actually dug yourself in debt. And debt is a form of slavery. So basically that's what they did. They sold you, and some of our young people are still going to do the same thing. We see that around in certain places that, they feel that, being successful is a suit and tie and a clipboard, But that person, even on the job sites, now some of them will come in there, and they wanted to work, quality control and quality assurance and things of that nature. Some of them knew people to get in those positions, but they really do not understand the trade. They don't understand the trade. And one of the things about it is that everyone wants to be, and I talk to my wife about it all the time. I say, everyone wants to be a manager, but no one wants to do the labor, the knuckle breaking, the sweat, And as I say, I used to get some blood in your mouth, I used to tell, the troops that a lot of us scared of the dings and the bruises that we get, tying rebar, climbing, welding, torching, things of that nature. When you're scared to do something like that, then yeah, you want to be in the office. You want to be in the office, but I tell you what, you have a better chance being in the field than the office. One little complaint, and that's your career. Even though that I got out as a captain and I did combat missions as a lieutenant, I hated being in the office. I always wanted to be in the field, because actually I rather my career lasts longer in the field than in the office. And that's the same thing in these job sites. You know, some people just, well, you know, I just want to be a project manager. And there's nothing wrong with that. Construction manager, there's nothing wrong with that. But you would be a better manager if you actually started from the field. College is one thing. But,
that's,
you know,
right.
When you go to the, you know, college is one thing. You know, yeah, okay. Yeah, you can use Excel spreadsheets. That's fine. But I'm going to tell you something right now. When it comes down to cutting, they cut from the top. You know, they cut from the top. So that secretary who had a secretary who had a secretary, she's gone. You know, they need trade. You know, I knew people who actually work, you know, nothing but allergists and basically nuclear allergists, and were welding. And in 9 months, that man put $180,000 in his pocket.
That's right.
You'll never get that with a suit and tie.
A fact.
Never.
In fact,
can you repeat that?
Say again.
Can you repeat that?
I knew a gentleman. I knew a gentleman when I was an apprentice. When I was a rod buster before I became an elevator constructor apprentice, and you know, basically we worked alongside the welders. You know, I did a lot of grinding and cutting for him and things of that nature. And he told me, he said he made, in 9 months, he made $180,000.
That's
welding.
A fact. That
you would never, fact. You would never make it.
Fact.
Wearing a suit and tie and a clipboard. You know?
Fact.
You would never make it.
Now, on that
never.
Note,
fact.
If we're down to 12 minutes and you all have got the board lit up. We got four people who want to make a comment or question. Is now a good time?
Yes, sir.
Okay, the first one is Brother Horatio.
Assalamu
alaikum, Brother
Horatio. Wa alaikum salam. Ramadan Mubarak.
Ramadan Kareem.
Ramadan Kareem.
Yes, sir, brother. I'm really enjoying the show, and you all have said a lot, and as well as Dr. Ridgely. And I just wanted to comment and ask a question. You know, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, the Honorable Mr. Louis Farrakhan, has told us to go to school and get nation-building skills.
That's right.
And that's different than just going to college. They don't teach you when you go in college or business how to actually open a business. They're teaching you how to be a manager in their business. But
right,
one
exactly.
thing about nation building skills, when you're talking about the skilled trades, you have something that you can do no matter what as far as a job. If you're a good welder, you can find something to do, you know, when welding. If you're a good carpenter, there's people
that's
always
right.
needing a good carpenter and so
that's
forth.
Right.
You know, I'm a general contractor, and I'm always looking for good subcontractors who have good skill. Because that's what I need in order to get my job done. And so I wanted you to talk about the importance of actually getting proper training, since we don't own these businesses like we used to.
Mm-hmm.
The importance of us going, just like they came to us in Kimmy and other places and sat at our feet to learn. The importance of us going to these technical schools and learning heating and air, plumbing, HVAC, and electrical work, and the importance of learning carpentry and trying to learn something about concrete finishing and brick masonry. Can you speak to that? And when you get a skill, I mean, I know guys, man, three and four generations who have put all of their children through college just doing foundation work, doing brick work.
Right.
Likewise, being an engineer, I know a lot of engineers who sitting in an office, like you said, which is not the thing I want to do. They're still sitting in offices, but they're not doing as good as some of the guys who are actually doing skilled trades. So,
right, exactly.
You know, can you speak to that and also speak to us about the importance of getting the proper training to do these things and not just kind of trying to go out on our own and just do it. The importance of the safety of it as well.
Yes, sir.
Brother Kelvin, you want to take that, brother?
Yeah, I take it. You know, the importance of getting a skill is one of those things that no one can take that from you. They can't take that from you. Once you become a journeyman, you got all 50 states that you can work. I met a guy that was talking about, well, I'm out of work. I said, what's your craft? He said, a welder. I said, you ain't looking hard enough.
That's
you
right.
know? I said, you ain't looking hard enough. I said, really, to be honest with you, I said, it's really unheard of. I said, you're probably the only welder that's out of work. I said, because my father was a welder. I hate to say it like this, but, you know, he got a little upset. But I'll say, okay, that's fine. But, you know, this is not what you want to do now. So I said, it makes no sense. I said, my father only went to the fifth grade, but he can weld. You know, up there in Pennsylvania, I said, that's one man that can weld. Matter of fact, at Plant Vogel, Burlington, Georgia, on an outage, I met a brother that was from Burlington, New Jersey. He worked for my father. You know?
Wow.
You know, just to show, my father's gone now. But here's the thing. He laid down a foundation that, you know, once you get that trade, you can go anywhere.
Anywhere.
That's why they call it
anywhere.
A journeyman. I got
That's
papers
right.
go anywhere. You know,
right.
there's so much welding in need. There's underwater welding, salvaging. That's something that I thought about
That's
doing
right.
one time, you know, because I always wanted to be a CB, you know, but I went into the Marine Corps. But the thing about it is that, you know, you can go anywhere, you know.
Yes, sir.
There's, because you're certified, you know, you're
That's
certified,
right.
you know. And, you know, the certification that comes with welders. Now, if I got a school, now I graduate from Kaplan University, you know, but they hire a person from Harvard who went to, you know, Harvard Business School over me based on the curriculum. When it comes down to trade is the trade. Mm. The certification is the certification.
That's right.
You know?
Well,
just
well
plain
you
and
know,
simple.
Can I say this? You know, Brother Horatio's sons, who have both graduated from Auburn University, in engineering, one civil engineering, the other one mechanical engineering, if I'm correct, Brother Horatio? One mechanical and
yes,
one
sir.
Civil?
Yes, sir.
You know, what is different about them is, here's the thing, the generational skill treatment, that's what we have to develop. I can go on any job, and I can point out, I can definitely tell who is a generational skilled tradesman. That means that their father and grandfather were skilled tradesmen. Second, third. I met on one job a doggone fifth generation pipe fitter. It's the first time I ever met a fifth generation pipe fitter. I'm like, wow, really? You know, so, but there's a difference in terms of their confidence. There's a difference in terms of their aptitude and knowing their surroundings, knowing what's going on. And so there's a lot of math. There's a lot of stuff that will kill you in those trades.
Mm-hmm.
But
right.
these trades are what we're using right now, not only to pay bills, but guess what? You like energy in your house? You like lights? Well, the work that pipe fitters do actually is what it's developing, or at least bringing that power to your home. If it's by steam power,
natural gas. That's right.
They're natural gas. You know, it produces steam. The steam turns a turbine. The turbine, in turn, they distribute their energy from there. So, you know, the generational master craftsman, we have to develop that, because we have far too many of our people who will go out on a job, and Brother Horatio deals with this all the time. We talk often. And those who are contractors, general contractors, they deal with this all the time with our people. We love to do half, I want to say the word,
work.
Half behind work.
I understand.
Work.
Yes,
yeah,
right. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
You know, and walk away and give your attitude because you ain't paying. Where's my paycheck at? Wait a minute, man. You know, and the thing about a skilled tradesman, brother, you know, your ego don't count in a skilled trade, because guess what? You can tell us what you can do, even if you license or certify. Well, when you get out in the field, which, by the way, to be certified means that only gives you access to the job until they give you a gate test. When they give you a gate test, say, okay, we see you got the certification. Now let's see if you can actually weld. Come on down to this test lab.
That's right.
Uh-oh.
That's every time you go to every job site. That's right.
Every job site. They're going to test you to see if, okay, yeah, we see you got the paperwork, but, yeah, somebody could have gave you that. You're not getting this test lab. Let's see what you can do. You bust out. Guess what? Get your bags, pack them up, and go on to the house. We'll write you a little 3-4 hour check. You know, get on out of here. But
Brother Tony,
the thing that, yes, sir.
I'm sorry to interrupt you, brother, but we're down to 4 minutes, and I was wondering, we have two more callers, and I was wondering if you want to bring them on for a question.
Absolutely.
Or comment.
Absolutely. Yes. Bring them on.
Okay, so we got caller with the last four digits, 9595. Where are you calling from? What's your name, and where are you calling from?
Yeah, this is Brother Gerald calling out of Vicksburg, Mississippi.
Salam alaikum, hey. Brother Gerald.
Wa alaikum salam. How's the family?
Fine. Thank Almighty God, Allah. Ramadan Mubarak, brother.
Ramadan Kareem, brothers. I am loving this. I am loving this. But one of the considerations that that I think we might want to look at is let's look at what we are doing good. Some of the things that we're doing good and build on them. There's this saying about you don't wake the dead unless you got something for them to do.
That's right. This
training, what are we going to do with it? And I'm talking real fast because I know time is short. Like that farm produced a grade of wheat that is bar none. It is spectacular, fantastic. Nobody's complaining.
Okay, let me cut you off. All right, I'll tell you when it's come down to farmers, Brother Kelvin. I'm sorry, because I know we got it's pretty short. When you're dealing around with farming, and I know just a little, you got to start thinking about value added products, right?
Yes, sir.
So you may be raising, and this comes down to the business model of it. Okay, you have cows. Okay, right. Okay, so, you know, and you're raising them for milk and you raise them for something else. You know, if I had goats, you know, let's say a milk goat. Okay, yeah, you know, I'm raising for this, I'm raising for that. But what about the value-added products, lotions, cosmetics?
Yes, sir.
Okay,
these
are the things that happen when you become a farmer or any businessman or any trade. You have to always look at what you can do. Like one brother was talking about concrete work. If you was a carpenter and you did remodeling very well, then you become that entrepreneur and you go to the Lowe's and you go to Home Depot and last but definitely not least, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said this years ago. He said a business with no sign is a sign of no business.
Mm-hmm.
You have to advertise your skill.
Mm-hmm.
So
yes,
when you
sir.
Get that graph,
yes,
right, you advertise, you know, you advertise. And that's one of the things that we don't do well in a black community. We don't advertise well. So all throughout the Nation of Islam, we should all know who's crafts, you know, who's in this craft, in this state, in this region. You understand what I'm saying? So when you do that, you market yourself. You can pull your resources. I told a brother, you know, about a couple months ago, I said every mosque, every study group should have a specialty. So if the southern region is known for civil engineer and we got a project, well, I'm calling up the number 15 and I'm putting them to work.
One minute.
The Detroit is good with iron workers.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Can I interject this? The point that I was making was that wheat is so good, it should be shipped all over the world. It should be shipped all throughout the nation. So what can we do to take it into the next level? I'm saying now we have a mission, now we have a project, now we're bringing in the minds, the skilled tradesmen to make this a reality.
30 seconds,
Gerald. Give me some food grade stainless, and we can set up a mill.
20 seconds
on a larger scale.
Yeah. All right, there you go.
For the Gerald. Thank you
yes,
very
sir.
Much for the Tony. Just go ahead and we got 10 seconds. Do we want to give them give the listeners information on how they can get in contact with Brother Kevin or his program, Hats to Hard Hats, Hats to Helmets?
You can reach me. Take this number, 229-288-6259. If you're interested in the skilled trades, give me a call. If you're interested in networking, let's do this. I love what Brother Gerald just interjected. Question is absolutely on point, Brother Gerald. I love that, brother. I knew exactly what you meant, brother. So give me some food-grade stainless, brother. Let's get some pumps going. Let's get some meals going. It's going to take some work, though. It'll take some designing and some planning, Brother Horatio, Brother Kevin, in Atlanta, Brother Kelvin, all of us, we have something to add to that, that important component. That's money there, brother. I love it.
Yes, sir.
So thank you. Assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum salam. Thank you, Brother Tony and Brother Kevin, for such a dynamic show. And we're going to close out now. And assalamu alaikum.
Thank
you, sir.
Won't you let me? Won't you help me? Won't you help me understand you?
Lord, I've really been real stressed, down and out, losing ground. Although I am black and brown, problems got me pessimistic. Brothers and sisters keep messing up. Why does it have to be so damn tough? I don't know where I can go to let these ghosts out of my skull. My grandma passed, my brother's gone.
Alone.
I never at once felt so alone.
Alone.
I know you're supposed to be my steering wheel, not just my fifth tire.
Down to Peachtree. Headliner, I challenge you to a game of horseshoes. A game of horseshoes.
Now I see the importance of history. While my people be in the mess that they be. Many journeys to freedom made in vain by brothers on the corner playing ghetto games. I ask you, Lord, why you enlighten me without the enlightenment of all my folks. Instead, cause I set myself on a quest for truth, and he was there to quench my thirst. But I am still thirsty.